Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, January 31st. Today, we're talking to Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung about possible updates coming to Colorado's wage transparency laws. Before we begin, there's still time to vote. The Best of the Colorado Sun is happening now. Nominate your favorite businesses and people in more than 100 categories. There are 5 regions covering the state. Voting closes February 28th. Visit coloradosun.com/bestof today. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. While the doors closed on the old Tivoli Union Brewery on this date in 1992, a new era began as the building prepared for its reinvention as a college student center. In 1866, German immigrant Moritz Sigge opened a brewery a block away from the Rocky Mountain Brewery, later named Zang's. Max Melsheimer purchased the property at 10th and Larimer Streets in 1879. He rechristened it the Milwaukee Brewery after the Wisconsin town where he worked after emigrating from Germany. The facility flourished in the 1880s and served as the heart of Denver's German community. By 1890, it boasted the tower-capped structure familiar today. Local developer John Good took it over in 1900. Good reopened the works as the Tivoli, named for a Danish amusement park, and merged it with another beer maker to establish the Tivoli Union Brewery. For 7 decades, it competed with Zang's and Coors, endured prohibition by producing a near-beer product, and released the popular Denver beer in 1965. After suffering damage from the South Platte River flood that year and costly labor disputes, the Tivoli Union closed its doors in 1969. The brewery survived the demolition of most of the Auraria neighborhood in the early 1970s, but languished over the next few decades. Reinvented as a blended academic and commercial facility in the early 1990s, the Tivoli now serves as the campus center for Metropolitan State University of Denver, Community College of Denver, and the Denver branch of the University of Colorado. In 2015, Metro State introduced a program in brewing and marketing, which once again led to the production of Tivoli beer. Before we continue, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun community and get the inside track on understanding politics, business, the outdoors, and the Colorado lifestyle, all while supporting local watchdog journalism to keep the powerful in check. Visit coloradosun.com/membership for more information. Now our feature story.
Welcome to the Colorado Sun podcast, everyone, and thanks for listening today. I'm David Krause, one of the team editors here at the Colorado Sun. And I am pleased, as always, to be here on a Tuesday with Sun Business reporter Tamara Chang. Hey there, Tamara.
Hey, David.
How's your day going?
Oh, pretty good.
Hey, we thought we'd chat today about some of the pay equity changes coming up. And this is what you had in What's Working, your weekly newsletter this week. You wrote about the law that Colorado passed in 2019 to address equity in pay. And it has really started to have some impacts across the nation, that now Colorado lawmakers are discussing some updates to the law. Tamara, can you kind of explain to our listeners why it's back in the news?
Yeah, sure. So this is sort of maybe not a sequel to the Equal Pay for Equal Work Act of 2019, but it's kind of fixing some things that needed to be addressed. So I'd be happy to share what that original law was. What it was meant to do was really get equity for, you know, women, people of color. And this is for sort of a more equal level pay for the same sort of work, as opposed to it all being so secretive, which meant a lot of people who are looking at new jobs, they may not know what the ranges are and may lowball themselves because they have no idea. So this really just provided a lot of good information for job seekers.
And can you talk about why is there a part two? Why has it kind of come back up to the state legislature?
Yes, of course. So the thing about this law is Colorado was one of the first to have this wage transparency law. And what it is, you know, when an employer posts a new job, they must say what the pay is. And it can be a range, but it has to be a pretty precise range. You can't have a 50,000 plus. It has to be more of an exact range. And the thing is, when the law finally went into effect in 2021, it started getting a lot of attention, and probably for the wrong reasons that the prime supporters and prime sponsors wanted it to. But companies from outside of Colorado began posting, you know, remote job listings, and they would purposely exclude Coloradans from implying because they didn't want to have to share the pay. And in Colorado, that was against the law. I mean, even if you are an employer out of state, if the job was open to someone who lives in Colorado, even if it was remote work, you had to post the pay wage or the range.
And so that led to some confusion or people just not taking applications from Colorado employees. Is there a thought of how they're going to address this in the legislature this year?
Well, the thing is, I mean, the way the law is written, the State Department of Labor still went after all those out-of-state companies. And that created a lot of publicity for the law and ended up influencing a lot of other states that went on to create their own laws. And, you know, California and Connecticut are some of them. Washington State, they just started their law this year in 2023. New York State just passed one. So that will probably go into effect soon. But the thing is, you know, a lot of companies that are hiring remote are facing other states that are having wage transparency requirements to share wages for jobs. So, you know, even though this was a big issue for companies in Colorado and outside of Colorado, you know, the state kept going after these companies. And that was one of the issues that folks on the side that, you know, would prefer not to have to deal with the bureaucracy. They still oppose this sort of legislation. And unfortunately, this part two, remote work isn't addressed. And when I talked to the prime sponsor, who's Senator Jesse Danielson, she mentioned, you know, she has been in talks with the different interest groups about remote work. And, you know, they pretty much just want to exclude remote workers. And that would defeat the whole purpose of the original bill.
One of the other complaints that you had reported about, if you have some more information on promotions and employers having questions with these new laws about promotions, what were kind of some of the roadblocks there that they were seeing?
Yeah. So while wage transparency was the big thing about the original law, there was still some confusion on the nitty gritty parts of implementing this. So for an example, if you had a worker at your company who was doing really well and you wanted to promote them into a new job because they deserved it and they learned how to do this new role, there was a question on whether you had to actually advertise that job internally or externally. And if so, you know, what if someone better came along than that person who really deserved the promotion? You know, they wouldn't be able to get it. So that is one thing that this part two law of the law will clarify. And it distinguishes between career development and progression versus a job opening. So if you have, you know, an existing employee who, you know, is on a career track, you know, those sort of promotions are okay. But if they are being considered for a job that is open, like a new job or someone had left the job, then that would actually be considered a job opening and would need to be advertised. And let me just add that this law has not been introduced yet, but I've seen a draft copy of it. So it's pretty far along, and Senator Danielson expects it to be introduced soon. And I will be following that as that happens.
It's interesting to see as these laws come out and as business owners, you know, the application of them, how they have to go through and kind of get into the nitty gritty and kind of into the weeds of, well, if this, then what? And I think that's always interesting in these business laws. Now, let's finish up today. There's probably some other labor laws in this session kind of coming around. What are you hearing up from Capitol Hill on any other possible labor laws or business laws this session?
Yeah, there's always a lot of labor laws in every session. And another one that is getting a lot of attention is House Bill 1118, which is the Fair Work Week Employment Standards Bill. And this one is, you know, it's employee-centric. It's trying to make sure that employees just aren't asked to work at the last minute and not fairly compensated or docked for saying no. I think right now you are allowed to say no, but I think there's pressure among workers to, you know, they don't understand that. So this would make it more clear. I think proponents of this bill are wanting 2 weeks notice before there's any that for schedule changes. And I think on the business owner side, I'm hearing that that is tough, especially, you know, for restaurant workers or, you know, for all sorts of jobs, you know, to have 2 weeks advance notice of any last minute changes, you know, that almost seems kind of impossible. So I think there's a lot of work still to be done. And I did drop a link into the column about where anybody, you know, can listen in to these debates, because, you know, once it gets down to the floor, a lot of it has already been debated. So it's actually the committee meetings and sessions before it gets to the main House or Senate floor that would be fun to listen in on. And you don't even have to go to the Capitol. You can just do it from your home and stream it online.
And we can read the Colorado Sun weekly and stay caught up, thanks to you and our politics team at the state Capitol. Thanks for the chat today, and I want to thank everybody for listening. If you do want to read more about Business News in Colorado, I encourage you, if you haven't, sign up for Tamara's free weekly What's Working newsletter at coloradosun.com. Thanks for the time today, Tamara. As always, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, David.
Read more in this story at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Colorado lawmakers are introducing a bipartisan bill aimed at cracking down on the sharp increase of vehicle thefts in the state. The bill would decouple the cost of a stolen car from the criminal penalty a thief faces and would increase penalties for repeat offenders. The bill would make stealing any vehicle a Class 5 felony, which is generally punishable by 1 to 3 years in prison or a fine between $1,000 to $100,000 or both. Right now, the penalty level for an auto thief depends on the value of the vehicle they steal. Early season skier traffic at the 37 North American ski areas run by Vail Resorts is up 12.5% compared with the same span last season. But that bump is not evident in Colorado, where the company's 5 resorts are seeing pretty mellow traffic despite well above average snowpacks. Vail Resorts, in its early season report to investors, said visits to its resorts in Colorado, Utah, and California were below expectations, citing extreme weather and the airline industry's struggles during the holiday. Lawyers for former Clear Creek County Sheriff Sergeant say the charges against Kyle Gould should be dropped because he was not at the scene when Christian Glass was killed by police. Glass was shot and killed in June near Silver Plume after his car became stuck and he called 911 for help. After more than an hour standoff, Gould, who was supervising the situation from home, told officers to breach the car windows to try to remove Glass. The 22-year-old was then hit with multiple beanbags, tasered, and then shot 5 times by another deputy who was facing a second-degree murder charge. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And The Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All 3 exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.